Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, December 27th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We're going to cover all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to be with me here as we wrap up this week on Bang the Book Radio. Two segments come your way today. The first, my Westgate Super Contest selection segment for week 17. We'll finish up the Super Contest, tell you about what's going on in the races for the money over in those. Then we'll wrap up this week on the program with Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the odds report. Some new sharp money out there in the college football market for the bowl season, and some sharp money out there for week 17 in the NFL as well. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of great stuff going on over there right now with our very talented cast of writers. We've got previews up for all of the remaining bowl games for you to check out. So definitely a whole lot going on with those. Those run all the way through the national championship game on January 13th. So I'll have a preview up of the national championship game once we know the winners of the two semifinals there on Saturday. NHL returns tomorrow. So Parker Michaels, or NHL returns today, I should say. So Parker Michaels back with us there taking a look at a very big card on the ice. Daily NBA and college basketball stuff as well. And, of course, we'll have plenty of NFL content for you this weekend. And as we go throughout the NFL playoffs here, we'll keep doing the opening line report, keep taking a look at the market watch. We'll have a bunch of prop betting stuff once the Super Bowl rolls around. So plenty of things going on over at the website for you to check out. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. Before I launch into the Week 17 Super Contest segment, quick programming note here. We'll be on the show Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday next week. No show on Wednesday with the New Year's Day holiday. Enjoy the bowl games there on Wednesday, but we should do four shows for next week. And for those that are new to the program, we do 5 days a week up through the college basketball national championship game for March Madness, except for that first week of March Madness where you've got Thursday, Friday, games all day. We cram everything in the first three shows there. So still a lot of Bang the Book Radio coming your way here as we go throughout the basketball and the hockey seasons. And, of course, you know, the Super Bowl taking us on into February with the NFL. So we'll get NFL thoughts from all of our guests for the playoff games, get different opinions, different viewpoints on those. So we're not going anywhere, even though college football winding down here. We'll still have a lot to talk about as we get through the NCAA tournament. And once we get on into the spring, on into the baseball season, I'll be doing my twice a week Bettors Box podcast. I will also be doing some stuff for golf majors, big horse racing events, the NFL draft, you know, some different stuff like that, season win totals. So we'll still try to get some of those shows on as we go throughout the spring and summer months as well. All right, so we go into the Week 17 Westgate Super Contest selection segment here. Disappointing last week, 1-4 for me, the only winner coming with the Kansas City Chiefs there. 38-40-2 now on the season. Obviously not at all where I want to be, but you know, it's been a difficult year in the NFL, difficult to predict all the turnover margin stuff, and of course some of the bad coaching decisions, weird officiating, but you know what? Got to be better than that, and hopefully we'll be better than that for the 2020 season. As far as the other entry, the .com entry, 3-2 last week, now 42-36-2 for the season. Last week, the field actually came in with its fourth best week of the season, 54.94%. The field on the season now, 49.89%. It ain't breezy, leads the field by 1.5 points. We've got a couple of entries tied at 10-0 for the mini contest. So, still plenty of payouts, plenty of things left to be decided here in the Super Contest for 2019. Over in the gold, the winner-take-all contest, 48.71% last week, 50.43% for the season. So big week in the traditional Super Contest, awful week in the Super Contest gold. A few things about that. First of all, in a winner-take-all contest, obviously you have to be a little bit more aggressive with your picks. Try to gain as much ground as you possibly can. So that was part of it. But also the public hammered the sports books last week, in particular in the early games. And really overall, it's been a pretty good football season in the NFL and college for a lot of those public sides. Some pretty low hold percentages all over Vegas and the other states that have legalized sports betting, some lower hold percentages than you would expect as well. So been a tough week for contrarian, or a tough year, I should say, for some contrarian handicappers, for some of those that try to fade the public a little bit in the NFL. Hasn't gone overly well. That's not my strategy necessarily, but it is something I do kind of factor into account a little bit. But, you know, it's been a pretty good NFL and college football season for a lot of the recreational bettors out there. And, you know, with legalization sweeping across the country, it should just mean, you know, continued increasing revenues for those sports, increasing handles. Should be a lot of fun to see how all of that progresses into 2020. Consensus now in the Super Contest, 109, 119, and 7. The top five consensus, 41, 36, and 3 on the season. Over in the gold, the consensus, 113, 107, and 5. Top five consensus, 41, 40, and 3. With all the different ties and whatnot that we had earlier on in the season. Matching pick counts for the fifth most popular side. Stuff like that. So the consensus, you know, doing okay. Not earth-shattering by any means. At least as far as the top five goes, the consensus in the Super Contest on the minus side, and will close that way, barring some sort of absolutely absurd week in week 17. Over in the Circa Million, my entry also went 1-4 over there, 37, 41, and 2 on the season. The Dash 1 entry over in the Circa, 3-2 last week, now 44, 33, and 3. That would be just outside the money. That would be a point off the money in the Super Contest, but over in the Circa Million, unfortunately, only the top 10 plus ties get paid, whereas over in the Super Contest, the top 100 plus ties. And as I've talked about here recently on the segments as we finish out this NFL regular season, I would expect some changes to come to the Circa Contest for next year, much more popular than they expected it to be. You've got the new Circa property itself opening December 2020, so I would expect some changes coming from that contest to make it a little bit more attractive to a lot of people out there. Again, $18.75 in the Circa, $33.28 in the Super Contest. I would think that gap is lessened considerably for next season. So that should be rather interesting to see what sorts of changes come to the Circa. As I've talked about before, I would love to see a college football-esque Super Contest. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if the Circa would get involved in something like that, but it certainly would be nice to see one of those. Not that it was a great college football season for me, just a pretty average one, but still would be nice to have some kind of competition out there and something a little bit different to talk about with the college games. In any event, last week, the Circa field 55.13%, 50.52% for the season. So once again, as I mentioned, that Circa field with the expectation of an overlay on the prize pool, little bit sharper than the Super Contest field, and obviously too, about 1,450 fewer entrants. And, you know, generally speaking, if you've got a little bit sharper of a crowd, that win percentage should wind up looking a lot better in the Circa. But again, nice to be part of the Circa. Yeah, it's been great to chat about this with you here so far this season. Hopefully I could finish on a high note, but congratulations to those that have maybe won their personal pools with friends or their contests or something like that. And, of course, congratulations to those that are in the money when all is said and done after next week's set of games. As always, we take a look at the line differences between the two contests here, the Super Contest and the Circa Million. Vikings minus 1 in the Super Contest, 1.5 in the Circa. Cowboys minus 11 in the Super Contest, 10.5 over in the Circa. Steelers minus 2 in the Super Contest, minus 1.5 in the Circa. Patriots minus 16 at the Westgate, 15.5 in the Circa. Chiefs minus 8.5 in the Super Contest, 8 in the Circa. Rams minus 3.5 in the Super Contest, the flat 3 over in the Circa. And the Broncos minus 3 in the Super Contest, minus 3.5 in the Circa. So a lot of half-point line differences out there for this week. But again, you talk about trying to make up ground. Difference between 3 and 3.5, pretty significant. 2 and 1.5 could be significant. 1 and 1.5 could be significant. So, again, you try to avoid those flat numbers if you're trying to make up some ground there. If you're trying to hold your positions, you know, maybe those half or those flat numbers not as bad for you. So, again, the same things in play here for this week in terms of, you know, if you're trying to make up ground, look to avoid pushes. You got better chances with the risk reward of a full point as opposed to a half point. And if you're looking to kind of maintain where you are, well, then you got some more to think about here for this week in your contests. But overall, you know, obviously week 17 is very difficult. You've got differing motivations for these teams. You've got some teams that maybe have a little bit of a mandate to the coaches to, you know, not try too hard to win this week. You got players resting. You've got playoff scenarios. You've got some lines that didn't open until later in the week once we got a better idea of who was actually playing and who wasn't. So, again, this week, very, very tough. You got to be on top of the news, on top of paying attention to things. And, of course, with this falling during the Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa holidays, and, of course, Festivus, if you celebrate that, you know, it's difficult to pay attention to all that news, stay on top of everything. So a lot of playing catch-up for a lot of people out there this week because they probably, like me, didn't really look at the NFL card from Monday until Thursday, just with everything else going on, trying to navigate the bowl games, stuff like that. So I really took my first look at the NFL card in depth today, trying to catch up on all the news, seeing who was practicing, seeing who wasn't, all that kind of thing. So, again, this last week here in the NFL, very, very challenging. And, of course, we're talking about substantial sums of money. The difference between a half point and a full point will be huge. The difference between a half point and 0 points will be huge across all the contests, the Westgate, the Circa, and, of course, the Gold Nugget Ultimate Football Challenge as well. So, again, very important here to catch up on all the news that you possibly can and try to figure out what's going to happen with this week in the NFL. So I've got four very likely picks for you and a couple of leans for this Friday edition of the show, the last week, the last Super Contest segment. Unless I decide to do a recap, I did that last year because I couldn't find a guest for Friday's show. So that may be the case next week. We'll see if I wind up doing that. But you know, obviously heading on into the playoffs, should have plenty to talk about in the NFL. In any event, again, the four very likely picks for me and a couple of leans. We start with number 9, the Atlanta Falcons. They are a pick'em taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, you know, this is a pretty interesting game, a pretty interesting spot, I think, for both of these teams. Atlanta on the road with the short price, the market currently plus one, painted across the board as I'm looking here, as I'm recording on Thursday evening. But the thing here for me with the Falcons is this. You know, they're still playing hard. They've been playing hard for Dan Quinn. I presume that this is it for Dan Quinn. This will probably be his last game as the head coach. And judging by what we've seen since the bye week here for Atlanta, we should get a big effort in this game. You know, they've kind of rallied around Quinn. Arthur Blank kind of said, you know, we're going to finish out the season and then sort of reevaluate things. But this is a team that we thought, you know, going into that bye, it was a good opportunity to fire Dan Quinn. And they didn't do it. The players responded. Nice win off the bye over the Saints. Couple of wins in a row here, including that road win at San Francisco. So they're still playing very, very hard. With Tampa Bay here this week, they know it's Bruce Arians. They know it's going to be the same coaching staff next year. And it certainly seems like, despite how things have finished up here for Jameis Winston, he'll get another crack for the Buccaneers next year. You know, with the lack of turmoil and turnover that we had this past offseason for Tampa Bay. So I think for Atlanta, there's a little bit more on the line here this week. I think from the looks of it, Tampa Bay is going to stay fairly status quo. And they, of course, have a ton of injuries at the skill positions here going into this weekend. Jameis Winston is a turnover machine when everybody's healthy. Obviously, when guys aren't healthy, that certainly increases the opportunity for some more interceptions here. Dirk Cotter, the offensive coordinator for the Falcons, hoping for a little bit of revenge against his former employer. The Falcons with 13 takeaways here in their last six games. A big reason why they've kind of had a little bit of a late season resurgence. And obviously, as we know, with a guy like Jameis Winston, takeaway is certainly a possibility for the opposing defense. So I do like that for Atlanta here in this spot. Julio Jones needs 188 yards for 1,500 on the season. That's something I would expect them to try and get. I know Jones kind of banged up a little bit in practice this week. But with some of the injuries that the Falcons have had here late in the year, they've been feeding Julio Jones a ton. Target rate up over 40%, I believe, the last two or three weeks. That should be the case here once again. They're going to try to get him the football a lot, and he will make plays, and he has. been making plays for them. So that Matt Ryan, Julio Jones connection should be in full swing. Feed him early, feed him often. The Bucs have a good run defense, but a below average pass defense. Atlanta doesn't run the football a whole lot. They want to throw it. Matt Ryan leads the NFL in completions this season, and he's missed a game. Two games, really, a game and a half, really. So there's also that here for the Falcons that they're going to throw the football. They're going to try to put some points up on the board. Should get an extra possession or two against a subpar pass defense. Give me the Falcons here, a pick 'em on the road at Tampa Bay, number 9 in the Westgate Super Contest rotation order. Next up on the board for me here is number 16, the New York Giants. They are plus 4.5 hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. The Giants are still playing hard. They're finishing this thing out with a good amount of effort here. And last week, I went against the Giants. I kind of thought, okay, they had that big rally for Eli game at home against Miami. Daniel Jones coming back into the fray. Maybe they're not going to show up here. Maybe this will be a spot where they kind of mail this one in a little bit. They didn't play well defensively, but they played very well offensively and moved the football up and down. And these are important games. These are important reps for Daniel Jones. And I think the players are aware of that. I think the players understand that, this is our guy of the future. It's no longer Eli. The torch has been passed. These are important reps for Daniel Jones going into his first full offseason as an NFL quarterback. So I think the team trying to finish on a high note, and they get a pretty bad Philadelphia secondary here with which to try and put up some points and try to put up a little bit of a showcase game here at the end. The Eagles, give them credit. They really rallied. I should have played the Eagles last week in the Super Contest. I don't know why I didn't. This is a team that's really played well in the face of a lot of adversity, in the face of a lot of injuries here, but they put a lot into that game last week. They rallied. They stepped up. They did what they had to do. And I understand they are clearly the more motivated team here. If they win, they're in. They win the division and they go on to the NFL playoffs. They are clearly more motivated than the Giants. So I'm not really worried about their effort and their focus level. I'm just wondering if they can get up again to that degree. Because this line at 4.5, they need to win by a little bit of margin here. Zach Ertz missing practice again on Thursday. They're already destroyed by skill position injuries. You lose a guy like Ertz, a big-time mismatch against linebackers and safeties. That would be a big loss for them. All the pressure on Philadelphia here in this situation. The Giants can just go out there and play. They can just go out there and go through their reps on offense against a bad secondary. I don't think the Eagles get enough stops to cover this number. I do think the Eagles probably end up winning the game, but it should be a pretty close one here where I do think the Giants are invested. I do think they follow the lead of Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, obviously a clear upgrade to Eli Manning. The stats bore that out. What we've seen with the body of work from Eli bores that out. Yeah, I think the Giants are just in a good spot here against an Eagles defense that isn't great. It's an Eagles team that just wants to win and get out. An Eagles team that's going to have difficulty creating margin with all of those skill position injuries. So it's the Giants for me, number 16 in the Super Contest rotation order, plus 4.5 here in week 17. Next up on the card, number 18, the Baltimore Ravens. They're plus 2 at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I understand that Baltimore's playing a lot of backups here in this game, but this is a massive opportunity for RG3. It's a massive opportunity for a lot of guys that don't get a lot of reps for this team. And I think that it's really nice that the Ravens don't have to change their offense much at all. They've got a mobile quarterback now, and RG3 is not the downfield threat passing that Lamar Jackson is, but they don't have to change a whole lot about this offense. And again, opportunities for backups to shine. Get some free agent money. Get some looks. Maybe fill in for some of the guys that depart in free agency for Baltimore, because we see this all the time. All the time. These teams that have playoff success, guys go and get overpaid out there in the free agent market. So for the backups for the Ravens, they may be elevated to starting roles next year. So this is a really big opportunity for them. Yeah, obviously you're downgrading from Lamar Jackson, from some of the other guys that are out there, downgrading from Mark Ingram, stuff like that. But these are guys that are highly motivated. These are guys that are going to go out there and play. And John Harbaugh, one of the best coaches in the NFL. He'll have the second unit ready. He'll be able to motivate these guys and mobilize them to go out there and play well. And much like the situation for the Eagles here, all the pressure in the world is on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They have to win this game. They have to win this game on the road against Baltimore with Doc Hodges, who has not played well at all whatsoever. And something else I think is worth keeping in mind here with these teams that are going to get the bye weeks for the playoffs. Obviously, you've got some of these bye weeks kind of up for grabs still, but the Ravens don't want to let complacency set in. They want to stay sharp. Whichever starters are out there on either side of the ball, they're not going to mail this game in. They're going to try to stay sharp. They're going to work on things. They're going to get their reps in, and they're going to be invested in this game because they don't play next week. And you're going to be playing, a team that's been playing playoff football for several weeks in a row after that bye. So they don't want to get complacent. So I like the Ravens here. Plus the two, number 18 in the Super Contest rotation order. A little bit of a fade of the Steelers, but I guess it's a good opportunity to buy Baltimore because I don't think they punt this game. I really don't. I don't think Harbaugh allows that to happen. Not with how well they've been playing. Not with how much momentum they've got going into the playoffs. And, again, these are all coach speak types of things, but those guys are going to be ready because this is an opportunity for them. So give me the Ravens here, plus two, number 18 in the Super Contest rotation order. The last of my very likely picks here, I would say this one is the weakest of the bunch, but I still think it's probably going to wind up on the card here. The Green Bay Packers, number 23 in the Super Contest rotation order. They are minus 12.5 on the road at the Detroit Lions. And I understand this is a very, very big number. The Packers do have something to play for here. The Lions do not. I understand this is a very big number, but I think the Lions are done. I think that they just want this season to be over. Matt Stafford's been out for a long time. The defense kind of rebelled a little bit when Quandre Diggs got traded. I think they just want this thing to be over with. They can't play spoiler. The Packers are already in anyway. They're just kind of playing for a bye and some of the other perks that go along with getting a top seed in the playoffs. So Detroit really has nothing to play for here. I mean, guys like David Blau do, but that's about it, and this is a team that's lost a bunch of games in a row. Hasn't been super competitive in some of those games. They're tied for the highest adjusted net yards per pass attempt allowed. So Aaron Rodgers should be able to have a big game here in this one. And also too, you talk about teams and how, invested they are, how motivated they'll be for the full 60 in these games. Well, the Packers, as we know, and as I've talked about a lot this season, their best quarter is the first quarter. 15 offensive touchdowns in the first quarter for them. Highest yards per play of any quarter for them. After the first quarter, 8 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns through the other quarters. So this is a Green Bay team that can get out in front. And if you're talking about a team that you think may end up quitting in this week 17 game, they're probably going to quit if they get behind early. So Green Bay, with their scripted plays, with their preparations, they should be able to put a little bit of distance in this game in the first quarter. So I think with that in mind, that gives them the opportunity to go ahead and blow this one out. The Lions, I don't think that they show a whole lot of heart in this one. 10 giveaways the last 5 games, only 6 takeaways in the last 10 games for the Lions. So I think the Packers, it's an uncomfortable road number. I will completely grant you that. Again, they don't have to go balls to the wall here. But I think just by going through their regular motions, they could put some distance and some margin in this game. So the Packers, minus 12.5, number 23 in the Super Contest rotation order, also on my list here of very likely picks. So as of Thursday evening here, my very likely picks are the Falcons as a pick'em, the Giants plus 4.5, the Ravens plus 2, and laying the big road price with the Packers minus the 12.5. Couple of leans for you here. And again, I think my fifth play does come from these two games, but obviously still surveying the NFL card, looking at the injuries, practice reports, so on and so forth. Number 25, the Kansas City Chiefs here, minus 8.5 as they take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Kansas City is really rounding into form here going into the playoffs. They'll want to stay sharp because New England plays Miami in the spot to get that other bye. They're probably going to get that. So Kansas City probably going to have to play next week. They're playing very well offensively. They're playing very well defensively. They won't take any unnecessary risks here. And of course, we could see Matt Moore in the second half of this game, but you know, Matt Moore played well earlier this season in the absence of Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not too worried about that. The Chargers have nothing left to play for. And even though Phillip Rivers, this is probably the swan song for him, doesn't really seem like the team is rallying too much around Phillip Rivers. He's banged up anyway. And the Chargers have been a much better road team than home team so far this season. They have no home field advantage. It's kind of a bummer for them, kind of a downer, really, to play at home. But I just don't think that they're going to be too invested in this game. A lot of injuries, again, over the course of the season for them. A lot of what could have been with some of the close games that they lost late. I just don't know if we get a big effort from the Chargers here. And the Chiefs, even if we don't get a substantial effort from them, very deep team, good depth at quarterback, good depth on defense, those guys are going to play. Those guys are going to show up and try to maximize their opportunities. So the Chiefs minus 8.5, the one I'm leaning towards the most here of my set of leans to be that fifth pick for me in week 17 in the Super Contest. Finally, number 30, the Seattle Seahawks is the only game on the board where it really truly matters to both teams. They're plus 3.5 here. Again, the 49ers still look gassed on defense. One extra day to prep for this one off of the Saturday game last week. But they really had to scratch and claw to get that game against the Rams. Maybe had a chance at a cover, but the guy made the catch and fell down, Manuel Sanders. But still, you know, they really had to give a lot of effort there last week. And again, they had that week 4 bye. So there is great incentive for San Francisco to win this game and get that bye, but it's a big number for Seattle at home. You know, you look at them and they haven't been a home dog too often here in recent times, but they have covered their last 4 as a home dog dating back to week 13 of 2017. And I understand this isn't the same Seahawks team, but I think with the hook, this one's a little bit too big. What concerns me here is that the Seattle injury report is quite substantial. They lost some guys last week. Maybe not going to get those guys back here this week, in particular on the defensive side of the ball. So that concerns me some for Seattle here. And one of the reasons why I would probably look more towards the Chiefs than I would towards the Seahawks. But again, that hook, very, very enticing on the Seattle side here. We'll see what that injury report looks like on Friday. But you know, for right now, I do think my Super Contest card very likely to be the Falcons, Giants, Ravens, Packers, and Chiefs. But the Seahawks are also in contention here for week 17 as I hope to finish on a high note. And thanks, everybody, for following along here with our Super Contest progress. Certainly hoping for better results as we head on into next season. But it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed breaking down the games. Hopefully, you've gotten some food for thought here on these segments. And thank you once again, of course, to Bang the Book for the opportunity to be in the Super Contest as well as the Circa Million. We got one more guest, one more segment for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Some new sharp money to talk about for the bowl games, and of course, some NFL sharp money to discuss for week 17. So here is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Going good. It's back in the office after a couple of days off, which is quite nice. It's always dicey around, you know, the holidays and stuff like that in terms of managing staff down here. That's one of the things you have to deal with because you want to give people the time off, but these damn sports just don't stop playing.
No, they really don't. That's definitely the truth here. And we're going to start by going through some of the sharp action that we've talked about on previous segments. Some of those games completed, some of them not. If you remember a couple of weeks back, December 12th, which feels like an eternity. Well, December 13th feels like an eternity ago. We had Buffalo minus 5, Washington minus 3, Florida State plus 5, Georgia State plus 7.5. And then last week we talked about another round of activity where we once again discussed Liberty plus 5.5, SMU minus 3, Illinois plus 7, Kentucky plus 3. Obviously, some of those games already in the books here. And you and I were talking before we started recording here that, you know, some of the sharp action didn't go as planned, but some of it did. And, you know, it's just kind of the nature of the beast here in the bowl season.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at like, I mean, Buffalo, we talked about the kind of narrative there was teams who run the ball well, you know, being strong plays in these bowls often because you just kind of matches up. You're talking about conference stats and stuff like that, stuff that really doesn't translate sometimes, but kind of teams who run the ball well, that just carries over regardless of conference play or not. So Buffalo was a good win there. I think that one actually went up to 7. I think we talked about this. Sharp play was around like 4.5 or 5 on that. Went up to 7. Washington was, a solid win as well. Liberty was, I think they were +5.5 and it went down to like 4.5 or 4 and back up to 5. They ended up winning outright as a dog. And the SMU is really one of the interesting ones for me because, long term, if you're getting the best of the number, based on the assumption that the sharp money is what dictates the market and the moves, if you lay a price like the -3 on SMU and they close 7, like just a massive move, and then they get absolutely crushed, they lost 52-28. It's just like, if you can get the best number over the long term, you're going to succeed. But you have to remember again, like even sharp guys, they're content winning like something like 58%. I mean, they'll be happy with that. So, you're going to get some, rotten apples in the mix, and SMU definitely turned out as one of those.
Well, and that's one of the things we've talked about here on this show too, is that, really the best barometer you have of future success is beating the market, is getting something better than the closing number, and preferably getting something that's, pretty far off of the closing number, because once you lock in that bet, you don't have any control over what happens in that game. Maybe you live bet or something like that, or, you could buy off of a play, middle or hedge, whatever the case may be. But once you get that good number, like SMU -3, at that point, you're at the mercy of the gambling gods, and that one just didn't work out at all for anybody. And again, that was sharp money, that was public money, that was a line adjustment after FAU had some players suspended, and none of it mattered. And sometimes that'll happen, but like you said, over the long term, if you're out in front of that number, you're going to do pretty well.
Yeah, that's kind of like the one kind of key indicator. If you're constantly getting the best of the number, it's basically like if you're paying, say, just if you think about it in terms of a commodity, if you're spending, you're buying something for $1.10, and then a few weeks later, it's all of a sudden it's the price of that item is now $1.60 or whatever. Well, you do that over the long term, you're ahead of the game, and you kind of have to think of sports betting the same way.
Yeah, you most definitely do. And we got some new sharp action to talk about here on the bowl side of things. We'll actually start with an afternoon game on Friday. So hopefully our listeners getting in on this segment quickly, as they often do. I know this is one of the most anticipated segments of the week. The Pinstripe Bowl, game 229-230, Michigan State and Wake Forest. Kind of an interesting handicap here.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State, right off the bat is where the sharp money came in. And again, we talked about the moves and how they come in earlier shows, and especially with these bowls, because these numbers come out so far in advance. I mean, you tend to get like early grabs on prices and stuff like that. Sometimes you get in, public money that just jumps into the market thinking that the price is going to move, or they just, they just love a number and they jump on that. Other times it takes a while. It's kind of like for the sharp money, kind of like the cream to rise to the top, if you will. And it has in that this game here, the Michigan State, I think, it initially opened up at -3.5, excuse me, got bet down at you with, public money, mostly just on Wake Forest grabbing the +3, lo and behold, boom, it's got up to 3.5 again. And now we're at -4. Sharp money did bet Michigan State when it touched 3, so the sharp money is there. And you look at these teams in terms of records and stuff like that. We talked about this, when we started our bowl segment, in that it's very difficult to handicap these teams a lot of times, because you're talking about stats and these things that are based on conference play, and now you're talking about non-conference teams and teams who play maybe a completely different style within their own conference and how those match up. You're also talking about the strength of these, the conferences that these teams are in. Michigan State, only came into this, comes into the bowl game at 6-6, but they play in the Big Ten, obviously a tough conference.
All right, so we jump ahead here to Saturday, and we talk about the Cotton Bowl, game 239-240, Memphis and Penn State. And this is a very interesting game, because you've got a great Group of Five team in Memphis. You've got a power conference team in Penn State that, they lost to Ohio State, and other than that, they were pretty good here over the course of the season. What's going on with the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah, that's a good example. I mean, look, just at records. I mean, Memphis, that's, 12-1. That's really impressive. They did beat, a ranked team in Navy. They also played, they played Cincinnati twice, who's like a top 20, top 25 team, and they beat them twice. So, they have some decent, wins on their ledger. They lost to Temple, I guess, which kind of set them back, obviously. But Penn State -6.5 in this one is where the sharp money came in. We're at 7 right now. I've got a count of about 3-1 favoring Penn State. So I've got kind of like public money going that way as well. And again, you know, Penn State is one of the more brand name teams out there. You talk about Penn State or Memphis. I mean, who's the more recognizable team out there in the market, you know, amongst public player bettors and stuff like that. And obviously Penn State fits that mold. So kind of no surprise to that. My wager count has gone that way as well. Since I've gone up to -7, I've actually still got more Penn State money. So the public is still betting Penn State to account about 3-1, even at 7. So it's just a constant flood of Penn State money. I do see some 7 dog 15s out there right now. So I'm kind of hanging at 7. But, you know, I'm more inclined right now to go 7.5. And if that doesn't work for you, might have to go, or sorry, 7-15. If that doesn't work, I'm, you know, we may be forced to go to 7.5. Penn State, you know, they got some decent wins on their, you know, on their season, of course, in terms of beating Iowa and Michigan, a couple of big wins for them, losing to Iowa State. Obviously, you know, no harm in that. And they lost, you know, to Minnesota as well, both very close games. So, I mean, you kind of have a good idea in terms of the level that Penn State's at. And this is going to be a big test for Memphis, even though they're 12-1.
So do you feel like maybe there was some sort of sharp action in the market on Memphis that bumped this to 6.5?
No, I mean, you know, it did open, you know, maybe too high. I'm looking at, you know, what I got at 6.5. Even for me, it was still Penn State money at that. So it's just all Penn State money from what I've seen. That initial bump down, it could have been a value grab. I think it did open as high as 7.5 out there. Now, I didn't open higher than 7. That's as high as I opened and did tick down. But 7.5, I think, is the highest opening number out there. And it's like the early number. And that probably was a price grab. And it could be a guy who's, you know, that we talked about before, how you really have to profile your players. It could be, you know, it happened at another book, so I can't really comment for sure, but it could be someone just grabbing the 7.5, thinking the number's going to drop down. When it goes to 6.5, they play it back the other way. That stuff happens all the time,
especially in the bowl season, where you got a lot of time for things to sort of settle in, a lot of time for action to come in on these games. We jump ahead to the first day of 2020. That would be January 1st, game 269-270, Baylor and Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. This one's actually, I'm seeing 4.5s out there in the market now as we're recording.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, as of today, we're doing this on Thursday, and you see as low as 4.5 on Georgia or as high as 5.5. I think earlier today there was even a 6 out there that might be hanging around on Georgia. So it's really, again, you're talking about, you know, we don't have quite as much time. We're, you know, about a week away from these games. But still, you're talking about, you know, you still got a week away, and there's still, these numbers have been up there for a long time. And you kind of, within each sports book, you're kind of looking at your own exposure and where a number settles. So if someone who's using 6 on this game just might happen to have a whole lot of, you know, a Georgia money. And it can also be a case where, you know, there's different philosophies in terms of how you're going to book. You know, the aggressive 4.5s out there might be books where they want to balance action regardless of what the cost. There's other books out there who might take a stance on a number. And like, for example, we, you know, in-house, I've got a wager count of about 2-1, almost 3-1 favoring Georgia. So to me, that indicates I'm, you know, books out there are getting public money on Georgia. So, you know, if a book's got heavy public money out on Georgia and they haven't been hit by sharp money on Baylor, they're probably going to stay at the, you know, the 5.5 and juice, or even the -6 that I see out there right now. A place that's going to be aggressive and really try and balance their action, even if they got hit on Baylor +7, which is where the sharp money came, they might be down a 4.5, just trying to fish and get something back. Personally, we're sitting at Georgia -5. I took sharp money on Baylor +7. You know, Baylor is, you know, quite interesting. I mean, their only loss was to Oklahoma, who's number 4. I think they lost them twice. That's why they got the 2 losses on their record on the season. But they're kind of, Baylor's, you know, they've been scrappy. They've just been in so many games. I mean, talk about the losses to Oklahoma. I think they lost by 3-7 those 2 games. So they don't have a real brand name win other than beating Oklahoma State, but they've been a real, you know, a tough team who hangs with a lot of other, you know, good teams, and they're in a tough conference, of course. Georgia, on the other hand, of course, they lost to LSU, but I mean, they lost, you know, quite handily to LSU. Also on this game, we do have sharp money on the total. That was under 43. Number opened at 42.5, I think it was, and got bet up to 43 right away. Then got, you know, as soon as they hit 43, got bet under. We're down to 41 right here. And, I kind of get that as well. I mean, you got a couple of decent defensive teams. Georgia's been, you know, in a lot of low-scoring games, and of course the correlation of the dog and the under goes well, you know, in addition to the play that was on Georgia +7.
So, I mean, as you're interpreting this, and obviously Georgia, you know, does have some offensive line injuries, so there are some cluster concerns there with protecting the quarterback and in the running game. Is this a setup to kind of keep pushing this number down a little bit? Is this a true sharp versus public split? What do you think?
I think this is a true sharp versus public split. Yeah, I think this number is going to bounce around basically where it is right now. I mean, I'm sorry not to, you know, to shed any real light on that, but I mean, the highest number like I see out there right now is -6 on Georgia. The lowest number is -4.5. And I think that's, you know, it comes down to as well, like I said, you get a lot of reflection in your bookmaking philosophies in terms of what number you're using. Like I said, I've got a wager count, you know, even at 6.5 was slightly more Georgia money, but pretty much even at 6, I had more Georgia bets as well. But you know, I'm of the position where I want to be on the side of sharp money. That's why we're down to 5.
All right, so we circle back here to December 28th, where we've got avalanches of money on the college football playoff semifinals. Nothing super sharp in house for you, which is why we're going to talk about these games last here. But obviously, with the two marquee matchups coming up this weekend, wanted to make sure we talked about them. We start with the Peach Bowl, which is 241-242, Oklahoma and LSU. Seems like the song remains the same on this game for now, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, my count is about 3-1 favoring LSU. You know, I know some books out there have touched like 14, dog 15 or what have you, or 13.5 seems to be, you know, pretty much the consensus number out in the market, which is where I am as well. Again, we've got a few days in advance of this one. And once it shot up to, you know, like 13.5, the numbers really held strong there. I mean, you know, last week we talked about this, it was still 13.5. Even at 13.5, though, I still have a count, like I said, of about 3-1 favoring LSU. My count is that high, but my money really, you know, in-house, it's a manageable figure for me right now. So one thing is looking at your wager count, and one thing is looking at your actual dollar volume exposure. So I'm pretty set on this game right now at 13.5. If I can avoid go to 14, I'm going to do that. If other books start creeping up, I'll certainly go up there with them. Total same thing. I mean, we're sitting at 76 right now. Numbers open at 77.5. Took initial bets on the under. My wager count on the under is 2-1, almost 3-1 favoring the under as well. So I've kind of just gone down with the market down to 76 from the opener, 77.
Well, and of course, we did see some sharp involvement right away when this thing opened, kind of bumping it up, not necessarily at DSI, but out there in the market, kind of driving this line up a little bit. So again, for our listeners out there, if this number starts coming down, it would be a good indicator of sharp Oklahoma money.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my count is like I said, it's quite one-sided favoring LSU. Even, you know, 12.5, 13, even at 13.5, it's LSU money. So I'm, you know, you definitely, if you're looking out there right now, the numbers, you know, pretty much consensus across the board is 13.5. Maybe if you want to justify 13.5 minus 15 and call that the consensus number, that would be, you know, that would be accurate. I couldn't argue with that. So if this number does come down, it's definitely going to be sharp money that drives it.
All right, so the next one, 243-244, the Fiesta Bowl, Clemson and Ohio State, the second of the college football playoff semifinals, and this number's still not really moving a whole lot either.
Yeah, it's just been, you know, the initial opener, I think that even the highest number I saw out there initially, that was like the first place ever that opened, the number was Ohio State -1.5, and it was like within 10-15 minutes it was like -2 and 2.5 on Clemson. That number, you know, it did touch 2.5, and like most books pretty much, you know, settled on 2.5, and then you just kind of seen week after week just a slow trickle back down of what I think is influential Ohio State money coming into the market. The number is, I'm using 2. I know there's some of the, you know, more the big respectable books out there as well who are using 1.5 on Clemson. So it's kind of, this is kind of slowly creeping back down. I mean, the initial move from Ohio State being favored to Clemson being favored was very, very sharp and very, very quick. Now it's trickling back down the other way. And, you know, when we talk about people middling games and stuff like that, you know, that applies to money line bets as well. I mean, if you're sitting on, you know, Clemson at even money for a big bet, and now you can get, say, +110 on the money line the other way with Ohio State, people definitely will do that if they've got enough, financial involvement in that. Personally, in terms of what I've seen count-wise, I'm about 2-1. No, I'm going to call it 3-1 on Clemson. So even at like -2.5, I had about 2-1 count favoring Clemson. At -2, I'm about 3-1 favoring Clemson. So the money's just, you know, still coming in on Clemson, but the number's trickling down.
So your pulse on this game is a sharp public split right now. And do you think that continues?
Yeah. I think Clemson is going to continue to get public money. I don't have any doubt in that at all. If this number comes down, even towards a pick 'em, that's definitely sharp money that's going to be out there involved. And I think it's already come in on Ohio State coming down from 2.5 to 2 on the books out there that are 1.5. That's definitely influential money that came as well on Ohio State.
Well, it should be a lot of fun to watch. And again, as we talked about on Thursday's edition of the show, I mean, this semifinal looks absolutely outstanding. Should write a lot of action on it and should be a really, really good game here on Saturday night between Clemson and Ohio State. We transition over to the NFL side of the spectrum here for week 17. And man, as I look up and down this card, Brent, and I don't know if the handle that you've got so far reflects this, I'm having a real hard time figuring out what's what in week 17 with, you know, trying to figure out if these teams care, trying to figure out all the different playoff scenarios. Are you seeing a lower than average handle for week 17?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look out there, really, I think the Seahawks and the Niners, I think that might be like the only game where both teams are really playing for seeding. And of course, the situation with Seattle is a mess in terms of what they've gone through with their running backs. I mean, they've turned the clock back to bring back, Turbin and Lynch as well. Are their running backs now, plus the, you know, I don't know if it's a rookie they had who stepped in last week, but they just had a mess on the offensive side of ball with respect to their running backs. There's a couple, themes that always kind of hold through year after year. And, popular theory or trend is divisional rematches, betting the unders in those games, and that's kind of held true as well. I think if you look at the divisional rematch games that are out there, almost every game, almost not every single game has gone, trended towards the under. I think Miami and New England might be one exception to that, and maybe Green Bay, I think, is the other one out there. But pretty much looking across the board, the numbers have all ticked down in these rematch games. And, you look at the volatility of the market too, because you're talking about teams who, have nothing to play for. Are they going to rest players? Are they not going to rest players? I think Baltimore has no need to win. Buffalo, their status doesn't change. Houston is 3 or 4, regardless of what happens to them, whether they win or not. It depends on other teams. Minnesota, same thing. I think they're locked in. Dallas, they obviously need to win. Philadelphia needs to win. Oakland still has, somehow they have a shot. If you move the abacus around right, I think Oakland still has a chance. Of course, Pittsburgh still has a chance, in Tennessee as well. So there's kind of that narrative in terms of the teams needing to win. There's also there's player stuff that you get involved in as well. And again, we have to expand this to player props and stuff like that. Something probably doesn't come up very often, but you got these players who are looking, for either bonuses or to meet some, mark in terms of this, rushing yards. You've got like Mixon, for example, for Cincinnati. I think he's like 25 yards away from 1,000 yards. Lindsey for Denver, he's around there as well. You're talking about receivers just short of 1,000 yards. So all these kind of things get played up a lot. One real interesting thing you find as well is the information in the market and the reaction to that. You see all these moves that are related to information and different narratives. I mean, you look at the Tennessee-Houston game, it's just, a crazy one. I think that number opened like around on a pick or minus one with Houston or Tennessee, sorry. And then they announced that, Houston was probably going to rest their starters. Now, it wasn't actually Houston's coach who said that. And that number went up to, I think, went all the way up to 6.5. Tennessee was favored by minus 6.5 versus Houston. Then they talked to O'Brien, the coach himself, and he said, I never said I was going to rest starters. And boom, you've got a number going from 6.5 down to 4.5 down to 3.5 where we are right now. It's just like, it's just crazy the volatility this, this week in the season.
Well, not even that, but also the fact that, some of these games, and the NFL has done a better job of it here this season, but sometimes they can't help it. Sometimes they've got a game at 1 that means something and that will impact the game it's on at 4, something like that. So that happens all the time, where you've got to be vigilant in terms of, hey, if this team clinches a spot, well, in that 4 o'clock game, they're not playing for anything. So, that happens all the time here in week 17 too.
Yeah, the NFL has done a much better job from our perspective in terms of managing that. They've changed, years ago, they never changed times on these games that were scheduled the way they were. And so you were as a defense mechanism, you had to either take games off the board once the early game started or reduce limits and stuff like that. Now they've done the NFL has done a much better job of kind of matching up games starting at the same time that, kind of mean something within each other. Like, Dallas Washington is on at the same time as Philadelphia and the Giants and, they're on. Also, of course, the Sunday night game is San Fran and Seattle. So that's a great game to have standing alone by itself as well.
Well, despite the mess that is week 17 in the NFL, we do have some sharp action to discuss here. Beginning with game 103-104, the battle for Ohio, the battle of I-71, Cleveland and Cincinnati. Browns still a road favorite down in the Queen City, but no longer a road favorite of 3 at most places.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a battle between a 6-9 Browns team and a 1-14 Bengals team. I think they are. I mean, it's just like, hey, Cincinnati comes in having like lost probably 3 in a row, and I know Cleveland's lost a couple in a row as well. So I don't know how much of a battle it is. This number has gone down. There, you know, my count, I'll tell you right away, is about just slightly more than 2-1 favoring the Browns. But this number has come down from the 3 down to the 2.5 and juice where it is right now. This is probably like the only game this week where it's like really a sharp and public split. And it's strange just because like the public, even dating back to halfway through last year when Baker Mayfield came in, it's just been constant Brown support. And they did kind of shy away from a bit during the season when they had their troubles. But, you know, with Beckham there and Mayfield drawing the attention, they've been a very, very public team this season. So the fact that they're 6-9, they've probably done, you know, sports books quite well. Talked about as well, these are, you know, divisional rematch games. So totals, you know, have been getting bet down. This one opened up 46, is down to 43.5. But the only thing I have sharp on this one is Cincinnati +3. I think that's, you know, one of the more tried and true examples of this week where it's a definite sharp money moving that number down.
Imagine sharp money out of a 1-win team in week 17, but that's what we've got here, you know?
Yeah, so I think they've locked up the first draft pick, right? So if they win, they don't ruin anything. So it's like, okay, you know, they're going to go out there and they're actually going to try and win this game.
Yeah, that's certainly what it seems like. It's certainly what the market is suggesting. So, again, for people, because also, too, I mean, people are going to walk into this game and go, Cincinnati's got 1 win, and I can get the Browns under a field goal? I mean, it looks too good to be true. I mean, I don't know how this game plays out, but generally speaking, if it looks too good to be true in this business, it probably is.
Yeah, when you see a number like that, and if you just, like, if you have the perception, and the market has the perception of Cincinnati being just a horrible team. And, you know, I think they've played better with Dalton at the helm and stuff like that. But I think too, you kind of have to look at the Browns and the trouble they've had. I mean, it's not just like personnel in terms of chemistry and stuff like that. They just haven't played very, you know, very well this season. So it is kind of, you look at numbers and when something, like you said, looks too good to be true, you kind of have to dig a little bit further and say, okay, what's the real story behind this?
All right, from one week 17 pillow fight to another, game 107-108 here in the AFC South is Indianapolis and Jacksonville. Looks like we're starting to get some more Indianapolis money out there kind of driving this one up, but it is the total that's gotten sharp action in-house for you.
Yeah, this one we got sharp money on the under. Under 44.5 is where this one came. Sitting at 40. I'm at 43 right now. There's 42.5s out there, so I'm probably going to dip down if the market goes that way. Again, it's just one of those ugly games, and you're talking about teams who have to play, you have to win and don't have to win and stuff like that. Well, Jacksonville obviously hasn't had to win for a long time. I've got a wager count just on the side of about 4-1 favoring the Colts, so that's kind of what's driven this number in terms of the side. I also have a count favoring the over about 2-1, which I kind of find surprising just because I don't know how you can really bet the Jacksonville offense, in a game that's over. But truth be told, their defense, which is kind of like their backbone before, just hasn't been very good this year either. So the Colts, coming in here at 7-8 and Jacksonville 5-10. Again, I think this is just kind of goes back to the old theme of divisional rematches going under. I think the Colts won this one. They scored like 46 points in the first meeting of this one. But it's open, like I said, this one opened up at 44.5 and still attracted sharp under money.
All right, so we jump down to a game in the NFC South here. New Orleans and Carolina, game 113-114. Man, we've got some really big road numbers this week. New Orleans laying 13 at Carolina. Green Bay laying 12.5 or 13 at Detroit. This is kind of the nature of the beast here in week 17, and this one's actually even gone up.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things as well. As you want to make a number, what number's high enough but not too high. This number, I have a feeling this number is probably going to hit 13.5 and maybe even 14. I'm at minus 13 right now. Sharp money came in on the Saints at minus 11. So I just think that number is going to keep on coming in. It's crazy with the Saints too. I mean, yes, this is a must win game for them, or they need to win, to improve their position. But you're looking at them, 12-3 right now. They won a couple games in a row. Now, you've got San Francisco and Green Bay as well. If San Francisco and Green Bay both win, New Orleans finishes the year 13-3, assuming they win this game here, and they still end up with a number 3 seed. It's just like, it just seems kind of like unfair. Like, you go 13-3 and you're a 3 seed. That just seems wrong. this is partly probably a play against Carolina as well, in terms of the fact that they're, you know, their quarterback play is, you know, all season long has been kind of iffy. They've lost. I was shocked when I looked at this stats. I think it said they've lost 7 in a row. Carolina has. That's just. Things kind of creep up on you. And you just, I don't know. For me myself, I just didn't think of Carolina as being that bad of a team. But lo and behold, they have lost, you know, 7 straight games. For me, even, you know, since I've gone to 13, I'm still getting a wager count of about 2-1 favoring New Orleans. So I think this one's going to tick up.
13-3, and you're a 3 seed. 8-8, and you're a 4 seed. So you know. Hopefully that's something that, and the problem is, I don't know what the solution is outside of, you know, teams just playing better in the NFC East, but that is one of the tough things, man. You know, you're going to be 13-3 and get a home game. You're going to be 8-8 and get a home game in the wild card round. So
yeah, it's almost crazy. Like, you know, you talk about like the, you know, Dallas and Philadelphia as we are, and she's like, you've got to have they should have a rule. Like if you want to win your division, you need to, and you've got to have a winning record. Otherwise we bump you down to, you know, if the wild card's got a better record than you, there's gotta be something like that. I mean, yeah, okay, we'll let you in the playoffs, but you got to do a whole lot better.
No, I completely agree with that. A team that's doing very, very well here of late, the Kansas City Chiefs, game 125-126. Chargers and Chiefs here in an AFC West matchup. And once again, that theme that you kind of talked about here, the divisional rematch, we're seeing sharp money as a result.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the themes that has, you know, again, if you go through every divisional game this week, I think every divisional rematch game here, the total has been bet under. Again, it's kind of an under trend that has had success. There are a couple that have stayed the same, but I don't think any of them have gone higher. Again, maybe Miami, New England might be the exception to that. But this, you know, I kind of think this is a play, you know, beyond just a trend, obviously, that the sharp money goes with. I think it's kind of just market wide. I think the perception of Kansas City's defense not being very good is still out there. But if you look at the numbers, I think it's, you know, it's a very underrated, solid Kansas City defense. Offensively, I mean, you look at what Kansas City's been through. I mean, they've gone from a 7-point favorite in this game, or 7.5, all the way up to -9. Their running backs, I mean, it's just been a mess all season long, yet they still get it done. They've won 5 in a row, and their defense, I think, has really been, you know, a big key to that. These teams obviously played each other before. Rivers was 28 out of 52 with 4 interceptions. So, you know, you kind of look at whenever your quarterback's got to throw the ball 52 times, that means you're probably not doing very well, and he threw 4 of those to the wrong team as well. There is some kind of news came out about Rivers' thumb having him limited in practice this week. I don't think that affected the total, just because the fact that River, there's just no way in what, you know, could possibly be Rivers' last game, or his last game for the Chargers at least, there's just no way that he's not going to be out there. So we're pretty certain that Rivers is going to play despite the thumb issue. I've got a wager count about 2-1 favoring the under as well. Sharp money on this came in at under 48, and, you know, right across the board, this one's painted 45.5.
Real quickly here, just because it's the only game that matters for both teams, some thoughts on San Francisco, Seattle, 129-130. San Francisco opened a small road favorite up to 3.5 now. Very rare territory for Seattle to be a home dog, and to be a home dog of this magnitude. Do you think we get some sharp money on Seattle as we get closer to the game, or is this just going to stay, you know, with a lot of San Francisco tickets?
No, I think this one's pretty much going to stay where it is. I mean, I actually, in-house, looking at my count, my major count on this one's almost dead even. I think the number, like the right number, is where it is right now with San Francisco, like -3, -20, or perhaps 3.5, dog 20, something like that. I think with the running back situation with Seattle and, you know, the whole mess of their backfield, this seems like it, you know, the move, you know, was the right move to 3 where it is right now. You know, I'm sitting at 3. I think I'm probably going to hold on to that number as much as I can. Like I said, at 3, you know, I do have some, you know, buy points and stuff like that with Seattle +3.5. So, you know, at +3.5, I'm almost 2-1 favoring Seattle. At -3 with the juice, I'm almost 2-1 favoring San Francisco. That's where I get, you know, my impression is that this number is going to hang where it is.
Well, sounds like a good spot for you here in the final NFL game for 2019. Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, always a treat to chat with you, man. Thank you so much for joining me, and I'll talk to you again next year.
Yeah, it should be a fantastic weekend. I'm looking forward to all these, you know, these bowl games. It's a more fun time of year. You kind of get the, you know, the better teams involved in there. You know, no offense to teams like Liberty and Buffalo and stuff like that, but this is going to be an exciting week and weekend.
Well, something I do want to clarify real quickly. By next year, I mean next week on the show. So we can talk about the NFL playoffs, not next season. Just so our listeners out there don't go panicking. But Brent, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much. And again, we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Adam.
All right, there you have it. There was Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the odds report. Some very interesting sharp money for the bowl games. And of course, trying to navigate these rough seas for week 17 in the NFL. Short and sweet week here on Bang the Book Radio. Hopefully you've enjoyed the three shows that we have had. We'll be back on the air on Monday once again after the weekend with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com and bettersportspicks.com. A lot of bull stuff to talk about in the college football first look. And we'll have a lot to talk about on the college basketball side as well, as a lot of teams get into conference play for next week. So we'll take a look at some strength of schedule discrepancies, some more fade and follow teams, some more regression candidates, whole lot of stuff coming your way on that Monday edition of the show. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.